Welcome to the Tell Me Something Good show, where every week we share with you, well, something good. Because who knows, it just might change your life one week at a time. I'm Brett, and together with my co-host, Paolo, we want to help you see the bright side, because there's always good in the world. You just have to know where to look.
All right, welcome to Tell Me Something Good show, episode 7, I believe, of season 3.
Episode 7 or 7 million.
Yeah. Well, we had discussed actually doing from 0 onwards and not necessarily doing seasons. I don't know why we're having this conversation.
I don't either. On air. Yeah, this is scintillating.
Well, listen, this is the fourth wall you guys are breaking down right now. All right, hit me with the joke. I told you to wait.
Here we go. What did the baby colonel say to the mama colonel?
I'm ready to pop.
No, you're close, but that's not right.
Okay.
Where's popcorn? I mean, it's just
not bad, actually.
Good. It's too
jokes,
good.
That's up there.
Would you like one more?
Are you going to give it to me?
I'd like
you?
To.
Go ahead.
Did you hear about that big fire at the cheese factory, that big cheese factory in France? Did you hear about that?
I don't watch TV news anymore. So
no. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. There was a lot of debris.
All right, that one's good.
It's just
that
one's right.
Good. That one's good. All right.
God, it's just delightful. Pun jokes are the best.
Haven't you guys missed us? It's been a couple of weeks. It's so hard for us to get like a continuous schedule. Or continuous, the wrong word. Consistent schedule. I forget what happened the weekend before, and then I was away last weekend. I think maybe it's because I had Mason's birthday the weekend before.
Yeah, like it's been a little crazy pants.
Yeah, but we're always doing something. But
the intention is there.
Yeah. Well, it does give a chance for people to catch up on some episodes, which I do notice does happen. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. And too much of a good thing.
It's too much of a good thing.
Exactly.
I mean, you can only take so much of this magic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to do it more. I'd love to do a few episodes a week, you know?
Let's do
it. Instagram lives. We've been talking about doing that for so long now.
Yep.
We should just do it one day.
Yes, agreed.
I'll be in my PJs. I don't wear PJs.
Can't wait to see that. So, do you wear like a smoking jacket like Hugh Hefner?
No, I do have a nice
like a
robe.
A silk robe.
I do have a nice robe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I actually sat down to train someone once. It was literally, I pressed the FaceTime to go, it was ringing. And then I saw myself. I was like, oh, shit. I had my chest was out. I was like, oh, I'm sitting in my robe.
Too much. Just not. Yeah. I'm going to guess your client wasn't ready for that.
No, he wasn't. Luckily, he
didn't
pick up.
Things got weird.
He didn't pick up, thankfully. All right. So there's something good this week. I was just saying, I always feel like it's something personal. But listen, it's what we're here for. To release our souls, our inner beings.
That's
right. Yeah. That was corny. No, so I think like I mentioned last time, I just started the new fasting schedule.
Yes.
It's been going great. I feel like my energy is way up. I've been losing weight, which is what I'm trying to do. Not necessarily lose weight, but trying to get more lean, get that summer bod. You know what I'm saying? Not that I don't think that is the picture of health. I think you could still look like that and be unhealthy. But having said that, this has also helped me with sleeping. Like I said, my energy's up, my workouts, I'm feeling stronger, I'm getting fitter. And in general, I just, like, I was telling Andrew yesterday, I used to be that guy from the teenage year. I cared about looking after myself, not necessarily like how I looked, but just I looked after myself. Like, I'd always stop at 2 beers when we were out. Like, it was a joke at college, like, oh, just a second, right? But yeah, unless we were out for a bender. Different story.
I was going to say, yeah. Wow.
No, but like if we were just out watching soccer or something, I'd always stop at 2.
Yeah.
Like I cared. And then I think it was around the time I had kids and I just stopped. I kind of just stopped. It was the whole parent thing. Like you stop caring about
yourself.
Yeah,
well, dad bod is a real thing.
Yeah, and like, I definitely didn't get to dad bod, but you know, there was a little pooch that didn't used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the abs went on a little vacation.
You weren't tight and right anymore.
Yeah,
you were.
But they're coming back now. The other day I was like, oh, hello.
Hello?
There was this little guy there. I haven't seen you for about 10 years. What are you doing?
With your accent, that sounds amazing.
Like, mate.
Hello.
Thanks for coming along again. So that was nice, but too good. And you know, Andrew's doing another. She's doing a more like a restricted calorie diet.
Okay.
Whereas mine is you know you have to kind of restrict it to like 1500 calories on your fasting days, which is quite easy because it's actually quite hard to eat that many calories for 4 or 5 hours. I mean, you can eat a burger and solve that problem pretty quick, but
right.
That's working for her. She's lost 8 to 10 pounds already. So it really has. And I think I said in the last episode too, like my outlook on health and fitness has changed completely. Like it used to be kind of like, this is the way to do it. I'm in the fasting camp. I'm in the calorie counting camp. I'm in the keto camp. I'm like, no, you know what? Do what works for you.
Yeah. And I think as long as it's something that's sustainable and a lifestyle thing versus an extreme.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's why it works for me. People keep saying, oh my God, 20 hours. That's crazy. You don't eat for 20 hours. Like how'd you do that? It's crazy. It's extreme. Like it's actually not that hard. It really isn't. Like I start working during the day and I don't even think about eating. And then it comes time and boom.
I think people also forget that we fast when we sleep.
Yeah.
So that takes care of like a really big chunk. I mean, if you ask a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of people who would sleep and then maybe they have their coffee and maybe it doesn't meet the strict requirements of fasting. But like, let's say they just have coffee with a little bit of creamer and then they just get really busy and they don't get a chance to eat breakfast. And then it's noon. Guess what? You just fasted. Like,
yeah, you just did a good, if you stopped eating at 8 o'clock, you just did a good 16 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you know, for women shouldn't fast for more than about 15, 16 hours because of the way their body responds to insulin and their kind of cycles. But so for that woman, that's actually pretty, I would say pretty easy, but you just can't have all the stuff in the coffee. It just has to be a black coffee or a black tea.
Yeah.
So you don't break your fast.
I mean, I do that naturally like 2 or 3 times a week, even though I do have stuff in my coffee. Yeah. So it's not technically.
Well, you know what the most amazing thing is?
And I
actually
have green juice, so.
Because I've been drinking black, I actually used to drink coffee black and I'd have lattes, but then I would just have black coffee. Having gotten back to that, I don't actually like the taste anymore of coffee with stuff in it.
It's really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, like,
so interesting.
I have a latte every now and again on one of my lifting days and I enjoy it, but it's not like I used to have one every day. Which, no, thinking about that now just makes me feel gross and like blah. But it's changed my taste buds.
That's really interesting.
Like it's curbed my sweet tooth. Like even during the day, especially after Christmas and then Easter with all the chocolate, British chocolate in the house, which is far superior to any American bullshit that is made in this country. I would just like, I'd crave it during the day and I'd go and have a bite, and, like break a piece off. Like all of that's gone now. It's really interesting. It's just, again, like I'd said last time about doing this, it's just, I just feel like as someone who's coached this for so long, I've never actually tried to live the lifestyle that I've been preaching because I never had to. Mm. And now I have a goal that I'm set on and I'm like, you know what? You can do it.
Yeah.
And you hear a lot of excuses, but you can do it. You just have to prioritize it. And it's not that hard. You just have to do it. Just start.
Yeah.
Because I used to always think to myself, I could never do that. But guess what? You can.
Yep.
And it hasn't been that bad. Like, I still enjoy some wine, still enjoy some whiskey every now and again. It hasn't changed. Like, it definitely stops any indulgence. Because in the back of your mind, you're like, well, why am I going to fast for that long and then fuck it up on this
side?
So it definitely stops any indulgence with food, alcohol, and whatever. So, yeah.
Good.
So that's my good thing. Like just personal goals, putting yourself first. I've spent a bit of money on some other stuff, you know, health related. And I think that's, I think it's important. Like do some stuff for yourself.
It's very important. It's the most important thing. Health is wealth.
Yeah.
Pay now or pay later when you're
big
in the hospital.
Time. Yeah. Big time.
Which is not what we want to do.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I love it.
Yeah.
Good. So, shall we move into our topic for today?
Well, or should we languish?
Shall we languish? We should not languish.
No.
Was defined originally by a sociologist, but the New York Times just ran a piece about it a couple weeks ago. And I actually didn't read the piece, but I heard a lot of people talking about it. So I decided to actually read it. And it's great. It's really interesting. It just defines a mental state that I think a lot of people are in right now.
Yeah.
And what is languishing? So symptoms of it The way to think about it is that on the scale of mental health, and again, this comes from the article. I will cite the article in the show notes, but I'm not. This isn't stuff I'm making up. On the mental health scale, you have depression, which is the low end, and then flourishing.
Yeah.
I was going to say thriving, but they're essentially the same thing.
Now, do we have... I mean, depression, I think we all know what the definition of that is.
Yeah.
What about flourishing? Like, how does one know if one is flourishing?
Flourishing, I think it just means you feel clear, you have energy, you can easily access joy, you feel grateful.
I will happily say that that's where I am right now.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that, I don't think it's, this is me personally, I don't think we're all flourishing all the time.
Yes, of course.
But I'm talking about kind of a overarching mental state. Like if you were to describe yourself the majority of the time right now.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And then in the middle of all this is this term called languishing, which basically means that you may have trouble concentrating. You have a lack of excitement for the future. You still have some energy. So you're not completely devoid of energy, but and you're not completely hopeless, but you just can't really get to the place of joy. And you don't really have a lot of focus, kind of aimless, just drifting. And I thought this would be a good topic for today because I've heard a lot of people tell me that, a lot of friends tell me that they feel like they should be really joyful right now and excited and diving back into life because things where we live are reopening slowly but surely. Everybody's, you know, hopefully everybody's getting the vaccine. But, you know, they're saying I'm really tired and I just still like, I feel kind of like, and it turns out it's a really valid feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because it's basically like looking out of a cloudy windshield.
Yeah.
Which is, depression can feel like that, but this is kind of like a more subtle form.
Yeah. I mean, I think one reason for that, and this is putting aside any debate, whichever side you're on, about the benefits of masks, but wearing the masks, I think it's definitely affected a lot of our mental health. I mean, there's a lot of studies on it, like, when we interact, seeing our mouths and the smiles has a big impact on how we are with each other, and it can change the vibe of a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're seeing a lot of kids, especially with depression now, because they've been restricted so much in schools. So I think,
or a lot of kids haven't even gone to school.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely contributed to it. Aside from the fact that life was just, you know, blown up.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that's the majority of it.
Yeah.
And I've said this about myself. This took me a really long time to realize what was going on. But basically, I guess it depends kind of on where you live, but hopefully, like, most people in this country can empathize with this. In March of 2020, like, the world kind of came to a crashing halt.
Yeah.
And everybody's fight or flight response was kicked into gear. And, I, you know, especially if you're a parent right now, it's never gone off. In a lot of respects, we're still in that space because we've had to, you know, all year, even as things have slowly gotten better, there's still all, you know, I just had this week, I won't go into the details, but like, you know, my kids are in school, but if somebody gets a cold, it's kind of like code red, to be honest, because they could have COVID. So then you've got to scramble and get testing. And then you start going down the rabbit hole of what if they do have COVID. And it's just been the kind of year where when you think you're on stable ground, all of a sudden you're not.
Yeah.
And that has led to, and that's like a psychological thing that's really not great.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of led in a lot of people to this languishing state, which we're going to talk about ways to get out of it, but it's also really good that they've come up with a name.
Yeah.
Because it's proven that if you name something, you can take steps to make it better.
Yeah.
The problem with languishing is that it can lead to depression if it's, you know, if you're not taking proactive steps to get out of it.
Yeah.
Especially times right now where we're not going to have like a clear moment that's like, tomorrow we are back to normal, right? You know? So we have to just kind of take this into our own hands and take small steps to get back to normal.
Yeah. I mean, I know you have some stuff written down there. I'd say one of the things that helped me get out of the whole muddle of everything that's been going on was when, I forget where I saw it, but they said, and I think it might even be in the Bible, that fear and faith can't coexist. So fear is essentially what has pushed us into, you know, and fear can be fear of anything in life. It's not just about COVID, but fear essentially is what cripples us a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. The fear of the unknown, of not knowing what we can do or how we're going to handle situations. But if you have faith in yourself, if you have faith in your family, if you have faith in love, it doesn't have to be religious.
Yeah.
If you have faith or believe in the human race, for example, then you're not scared. You know, okay, I'm having this issue, but maybe that person will understand me and I'll be able to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a financial issue, well, you know what? Money, you know, I'll get out of it. Everyone's understanding and, you know, there's someone else, a person on the other end of the phone I can talk to about it.
Yep.
So to me, when I made that clear distinction, I was like, I'm not going to live my life in fear of, you know, and again, this isn't COVID related. Like, I'm not going to be scared of the unknown. I'm just going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's how I got out of that. Because, I mean, like you said, we were all languishing. And that's how I got out of that.
Yeah. And I would say in this case, you could even interchange love for faith. You know, like, love is the opposite of fear.
Yeah.
And I think that there's an inner knowing piece, right? Like, you have to have the inner knowing that love is the predominant force in, you know, and like, you could be rolling your eyes at this. I get it, but I'm shifting toward this because it brings me a lot of comfort too. Yeah. But just the inner knowing that like, love is the predominant force in the universe. And you have to know that the universe has your back.
Yeah.
You have to know it. And I think that's definitely something that's bringing, you know, and I don't always know it. I have moments where I'm like, the universe does not have my back.
Yeah.
But I do the work. I mean, I do the work every day to try to, you know, train my mind toward love versus fear.
I do want to get, I don't know who it would be, but I do want to get someone like that as a guest on here that would talk about the more spiritual and that kind of side of things. Because that's something that I've, as I said a while back, like I've been diving into. And
mm-hmm.
There is real, you know, evidence of if you project love, you can really change the environment you're in. Even just one person.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not necessarily like you're shooting off love with your air guns and your fingers. It's like just projecting that aura.
You get back. This is manifestation. And it's
all energy.
Yes. You get back what you put into the world. So if you want love, let's just say you're miserable and you just want love. You got to put love in the world.
Yeah, who's going to love you if you're sitting there being miserable?
Yeah, like you've got to get yourself into, you have to change your state and get to a place where you put, even if you don't feel it, you've got to put it out in the world and then it'll start coming back to you and then you'll start feeling it and it's like a cycle.
Yeah. So here's a true story about me and Andrea's 6 month beginning. I don't know if I told the story on here about how we got together. I don't know if I did.
If I'm not going to
go into,
long time
I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but like it was 6 months of like building a foundation of friendship because I was going through the divorce stuff and she didn't want to be involved in it, and you know, had kids. Did she want to be involved with that too? But there was a 6 month period of building that foundation, which I recommend for everybody. Like, it was no sex, no kissing, nothing, no physical interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just friendship. So like, that's what is our rock.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any of the stuff to get it, but whatever. But there was a point where she did it many times, but she was like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I've got to cut you off because just being friends with you is too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to feel things. So of course I was upset. And I remember I drove home listening to this song. So when my grandfather passed, I had a studio session booked that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still went, and we actually wrote a song called Heaven, which was quite ironic because that's where I believe he went. And, you know, it just, the song was about like, you know, love made me feel like heaven. So that song always reminds me of my grandfather, who was like a guiding light in my life. He was someone I really looked up to. And he was like the kind of guy that whenever something was wrong, I wouldn't tell him, but he'd still know something was wrong. Be like, hey, don't worry about it. Here's the solution. And, you know, so I remember I listened to that song the whole way home. I cried and I was like, I felt like I was talking to him. I was like, what am I going to do? And the feeling I got was just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I just kept projecting love.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it reeled her in.
It reeled her in.
But that, you
the
know,
subtle approach sometimes is better.
I could have got all upset and depressed about it. And yeah. there was a 3-week period where she didn't talk to me at all. And, you know, I did feel down, but my solution was I'm just going to keep projecting love and, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
dreams come true.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, it's a good example of that.
Yeah. So what are some small things? Naming the feeling, first of all. Mm-hmm. So I think getting still, getting still and really trying to figure out what you're feeling. So how do you get still? You can get still through meditation, which is what I would recommend, of course. But
which I still haven't started. No, I said last time. I find it hard.
A lot of people.
Starting.
Yeah, a lot of people do. So it's okay. I'm not going to. This isn't a meditation episode. Yeah. So we'll talk about other ways too.
Well, I will say I did try, but I have a free account and it wouldn't let me log in with it. So then I had,
I just had
the other shit that they put on. Yeah. So I couldn't listen to any of the premium stuff that I was supposed to be able to. So I got annoyed and stopped. Okay. So I did try.
All right.
But I will try again.
Other ways to get still. Take a walk.
I love that.
Put on your headphones mm-hmm. and put on your favorite songs while you are doing something that doesn't require thinking, such as washing the dishes, vacuuming, folding laundry.
Yeah.
What are other ways to get quiet? Exercise, yeah. Running, you know, biking.
One thing I'll recommend is, if you can afford $13 a month, I think maybe they've raised the price, actually, it might be 15. Get YouTube Premium, because there's a lot of stuff that's just on YouTube, like good videos
mm-hmm.
that you can just listen to while you're doing stuff. Like okay. I spend a lot of time listening to, you know, interviews with people, kind mm-hmm. of podcasts, but mm-hmm. stuff that you wouldn't find on podcast apps or Spotify or anything like that. So that's a little tip I'd recommend.
Because yep.
when you have on the iPhone, you can play in the background without the screen being on.
Yeah.
So you're not watching the whole time.
So yeah, getting still and figuring out what it is that you're feeling. You might be feeling depression.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I would say if you're feeling depression, the first thing to do is talk to a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And then you take it from there. There are a lot of different ways to go if you're feeling depression, but I find that you need to talk to someone. I think that in wellness today, there's a lot of influence online. And getting still means not going online.
Mm-hmm.
And I think spend too much time looking at wellness influencers, you'll think that you might have to solve depression on your own. And it's really hard to do that.
Yeah.
So I think talking to somebody is a great first step. Even if you're languishing or flourishing, talking to someone is a great step.
Yeah.
But if you think that you're just languishing, not just, but if you think you're languishing, then great. You've named it.
Yeah.
You've named it. And one of the ways, this is kind of actually what we're talking about, I think getting quiet can be this, but it's getting in a flow state.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a flow state? You know what a flow state is?
I have an idea of what I think it is, but enlighten me.
Flow state is when, have you ever had a moment where maybe you're working and I know Paolo has had this. Maybe you're working or doing something you love and all of a sudden 3 hours go by and you had no idea. It just went by without even mm-hmm. thinking. You could be reading, you could be writing, yeah. exercising. It's just you're in the flow. You're not thinking about anything else. Yeah. You're just completely focused.
You might call that the zone.
Yeah. In the zone. Yeah. Yep, exactly. And getting in a flow state has been proven to help with languishing. Even if you are, it's really about immersion. So yeah. it can be something simple. Like yesterday I reseeded our backyard. Okay. Like kind of basic, but I was out.
Is that what the sprinkler's for?
Yes, yeah. Which I found out yesterday is completely broken. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. My seed's doing really well. But I wasn't online. I was outside. I was doing something that absorbed my attention completely. Yeah. And I wasn't thinking about anything else.
Isn't that a nice feeling? Like when you do go back on social and you're like, oh wow, I haven't been on for like 8 hours. It's actually a really nice feeling. And then you're like, I didn't really miss anything.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Not interested. And then I just like, it's not as interesting anymore. Cause it's like, So things like that where you, and I would also say like, it was just oddly rewarding because I did something. Yeah. Like I actually produced something. And yes, it's very small, but anytime you can get into that state, even if it's just for a couple minutes, and the more you can build that, the more you can kind of slowly pull yourself out. You've talked about this with your music before.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Like I'll tell you, and anyone who plays sports might feel the same. I remember all of the misses of like attempts at goal.
Mm-hmm.
I never remember scoring goals because I'm in the zone.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Ever since I was a kid, I score a lot of goals.
Just saying.
And I don't. I'm like, I don't remember how that happened. But I remember every single miss, and I miss a lot too. So you inevitably miss more than you score.
That's a metaphor for life.
Yeah. But like, that's the zone. Like when you've connected to that. To that higher power, we'll say, not that, you know, you're God, but you know what I'm saying? Like you're in the flow, like you said.
Yeah.
There's a thing about it. And I think breaking routine is a big thing with that. I think we all get into that rut, especially with when there was nothing else to do.
Yep. I think right now, a lot of people honestly are still in that rut. Yeah. It's weird. It's hard to get out of for some reason. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. And look, I keep saying it, turn off the fucking TV and turn on your brain. Because the whole Project Veritas, when they exposed CNN, the director
of what that is.
The guy, they filmed this, they got this idiot, he's one of the directors on CNN. They got him hooked up with a girl on Tinder. So she got him out and was videoing him.
Okay.
And he admitted that CNN have been stoking fear with the COVID numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing they're going to do is climate change, he said. And he said, you know, we work to get Trump out of office. Now, forget about politics, whichever side you're on. The fact that they're openly admitting they're stoking fear.
Well, and all media all, is, yeah, not just all, CNN.
No, exactly. Yeah. But they exposed that. They got caught.
Yeah.
That's why I don't watch it anymore. And I don't feel like it just stresses you out.
Yeah.
It really does.
But that's the goal because then you keep coming back to it.
And it's beautiful. Did you hear about... No, I didn't. I don't care. It doesn't affect my life.
Yeah.
It's so freeing, liberating. Can't recommend it enough.
Yeah. Things like, I will say, like, things like watching Netflix, if you watch a good show, that honestly is a way of being in the flow right now because you're not thinking about all, you're in a different state. If you have like a word game that you can play, like on your phone, things where you're just not having to, you know, take on the weight of the world.
Yeah. Watch Queen's Gambit and then start playing chess.
There you go. John and I watched The Sound of Metal over two nights because we now can't make it through a movie in one night.
I'm terrible at that. I fell asleep, yeah.
We have to break it up, but...
We have to watch it in bed
so
now
because
I fall asleep.
Okay. We don't have a TV
in the
bedroom.
No, neither do we. We bring the laptop in.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Well, not funny.
I don't
for
blame
Andrew.
You. It's hard to get through. But yeah, so things like that can be... in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then just another idea is uninterrupted time. So giving yourself the gift of uninterrupted time.
Yeah.
One of the things that happened during the pandemic, and this is really directed toward parents, specifically mothers, people around 24/7 needing things, interrupting constantly. And that was happening all day, every day. And that takes a toll mentally. Speaking personally, that took a huge toll on me that I'm still trying to come out of. If you never have a moment to actually think, it's going to be
a
bad road.
It's not about doing stuff. It's not about, like you said, it's just having a moment to breathe and think for a second.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always like my lunch break revolves around picking Mason up from school, making him lunch, and then I'm back working again. And then I have to carve out, split my lunch break into two so I can take him to his mum's when we're doing an exchange day. You know, it's like I don't have any time for myself, and it's exhausting. But having said that, as a parent who has 50-50 custody, I mean, the kids would be more because of the school district being my one, but I'm really grateful for that time away to re-energize. Like, we didn't have them last weekend. We went to the city for Andrew's birthday, and we just came back so refreshed. So I can only imagine what it's like for the parents that have been doing it the whole time, because it's annoying and it's hard for me when it's just a few, you know, 5 days or 2 days a week.
Yeah, so imagine that every day since March of 2020. No,
that's why I remember saying on this podcast during the whole thing was like, if you know someone who has a kid and you don't, or figure out between two parents, you know, if you're comfortable with your kids being together, hey, let me take them for a few hours and then maybe tomorrow you take them.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much of a relief you'll give to that person.
Yeah.
And it's not like you don't love your kids, but their time suck. And it's not even kids. It's like if you have an elderly, sick parent you need to look after, or if mm-hmm. you have a brother or sister you've got to look after, you need time to yourself.
Yep. I mean, we've talked about this before, but women have dropped out of the workforce in record numbers. Yeah. Women right now in this country are facing a crisis. And it doesn't get a lot of airtime because it's not sexy and it's not exciting, but it's real. Mm-hmm. And I've seen women that I last saw 2 years ago, and they've been devastated by this. Absolutely devastated. Yeah. And the best thing that we can do right now is try to create boundaries again, mm-hmm. because all of our boundaries got taken away. So this is the time to set the boundaries again. Yeah. So one of the things that I recognize I need to work on is, you know, I feel like I have to do this constantly, but it's been a while, is kind of like retrain my kids that we're not eating meals, you know, every 5 minutes. And, you know, it's not, they don't need to say mommy, mommy, mommy every like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's constant work because they're just, that's the way they're conditioned, you know, and it's like the old adage is true. I mean, John will be sitting right there and they're screaming for me.
Yeah.
It is. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's just the way kids are wired. So setting boundaries, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with your significant other, even with work, you know, I think that not commuting has led to a lot of people working even more than they ever have. Because there's literally no boundaries now.
Yeah.
Like, whereas the train used to be a boundary, or, you know, like your commute used to be a boundary. That's gone now.
You know what I actually did yesterday? As I ordered I have an extra line in my account because I get four as one in one payment. But one I wasn't using. So, you know what? I'm ordering a phone for that, and I'm putting all of my work stuff on there.
Yeah.
Just because the temptation is too much. Now I'm going to have my personal where I don't have anything work related at all. And then all my emails and all the apps I use for work are going to be on the other phone. So when I'm not working, that phone's going to go somewhere in a drawer.
Yep.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, because if you're on the phone, you know, I think it's almost funny that I don't think it's a bad thing for companies to want their employees to actually be in an office together. But I'm actually kind of surprised because I feel like, you know, it's actually more productive to have your workers just working 24/7, which is what, you know, they're doing now. But
I loved what they did in Germany. It was a few years ago now. I think it was Volkswagen. And they were utilizing BlackBerry's servers that they actually shut emails down after like 5 o'clock.
Ugh, that would be brilliant.
And then at the weekends, and they didn't allow you to work.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh my God. The outrage, though, here. People would get so upset. You can't do that to me. You can't tell me what to do. American exceptionalism would rear its ugly head.
Yeah.
Again. But.
Yeah.
I mean, I have. But you could set your own, you know, you could set your own rules for that.
Yeah. Well, look, and now is, and I, you know, the people I train are across a whole gamut of professions, and some work for huge companies, some are in small businesses, some work for themselves. To a T, everybody has said productivity did not drop.
No.
From working at home.
No.
So you are in a position now where you can, if your boss wants you to go back, you can say, you know, look, I'm more productive when I'm at home. I'm happy to come in now and again.
John's way more pro. I mean,
I'm happy to do it, but I want more flexibility with my.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I would say he's way more productive because he's just sitting there at a desk all day.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing in his job? I don't know. Like, he used to go around to sites and he would get inspiration that way. So, yeah, but like, he's a little bit. I think he struggles a little bit because he's been doing that now for a year. So it feels weird to be like,
yeah,
oh my gosh, okay, I guess I can go places now.
But I think you need to put, if you're not commuting, you need to put that time to good use. Invest in yourself. Don't put it into the company.
Set boundaries, yeah.
So
yeah.
Go to the gym.
Yes.
Go and play tennis. Go and play golf.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't play golf in 30 minutes, but do something for yourself in that time. So meditate. Do something that's for you.
Don't just work longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because listen, you're not getting paid for more than the 40 hours a week. So don't put in more than 40.
You're getting your salary.
I remember my uncle, he works.
I mean, maybe people
now.
Are getting paid
my
for
uncle
overtime,
was
but
huge in the fashion industry. He worked with Diddy, he worked with Jay-Z. He was like one of the top guys in urban fashion. And I remember we were sitting on the beach once and we were talking about my sister was, I won't say which company she was at, very big company as a designer. And she was complaining that her boss kept setting these meetings like 8:30 at night. And he was just saying how ridiculous that was. And he used to even qualify candidates when he was interviewing by saying, like, kind of getting a vibe of what hours you willing to work. And he was a red flag for him if they said they would work from 9 to 9 in the morning till 10 at night. Because he'd say, if you can't get the job done within the 40 hours, then I don't know how productive you actually are.
Yeah.
So I think more people need that mentality.
And this is our book that we're reading. This is Deep Work. So this is actually
we're
going to talk about.
That chapter was actually.
You knew that. That's why you brought this up.
That was chapter 6.
Yeah, as you remember. I know you're just working on typing up your book report.
I'm working on picking it up from the library still. It's on hold. I'm a last minute guy. All right. We'll get it done. Don't worry about it.
That's what you tell yourself.
I'm a speed reader.
Okay.
I'll go deep.
All
I'll
right.
put in the work.
Book club was your idea. So.
I know it was. And just trust me, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Right. Okay.
All right. I won't languish.
Yep. Or
I will flourish.
Slack.
I will flourish.
Okay. So,
Any more tips?
Those are my big tips.
Oh, I had a pro tip. And I have, because we haven't done the podcast since I spoke to someone who told me this. We're out for dinner with some of Andrew's friends, my friends now. And this guy who I hadn't met before, psychologist. We got onto Harry Potter and Game of Thrones. Big fan of both. We were saying how the books are way better than the movies.
Always.
But I haven't read the Game of Thrones book. I love the show though. But he was saying he listens to the Harry Potter books before he goes to bed. He's read them. He's seen all the movies. And he said a lot of anxiety comes from the unknown. So his theory is, if I listen to something that I know the ending of before I go to sleep, subconsciously my brain is working in a state of comfort because it knows what's happening next.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
It's almost like listening to music. You know how the song's going to finish.
Yeah, it's soothing.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't tried it yet.
Because I almost feel like if you hadn't read the book, it'd be hard to fall asleep.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, while I was not really single for that long, I've always been in relationships, but when I was in a long distance relationship, sleeping by myself, that's how I used to fall asleep, was listening to podcasts, usually ones I'd listened to before.
Hmm.
And there wasn't a reason for it. It was just, but I would fall asleep like that.
Interesting.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's a little pro tip.
Try it.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully that was helpful. We talked about the spectrum of depression to flourishing and how languishing is in the middle. We talked about naming the feeling. We talked about flow.
Professor Brett right here.
And knowing yourself.
Summarizing
the
lesson.
Recap. Talked about flow, knowing yourself, and then on an uninterrupted time and setting boundaries.
And, you know, this might sound kind of similar to how we've been talking about getting, you know, starting back up. But there's starting back up and then there's realizing you're in a state of languish, like you're just coasting and you might not be coasting in a good way.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of it's just recognizing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, check in with yourself. Where am I right now?
Right.
I think you might find you are languishing without realizing it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are, a lot.
Yeah.
And if you're, another thing too, is like, don't, or just try not to, I think we've, I hope we've gotten past the time of like flexing and pretending you feel a certain way when you don't.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's okay. If somebody asks you how you are, you can say, I'm languishing.
Yeah.
You can say, well, you know what? It's been a tough week, but only can go up from here. Like, don't just be like, I'm great. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, learn the lesson from the past year and a half. Because you only have one life. And
well, yeah. And even doing that, you might find the person you're talking to is going through the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're both putting up this wall. And it's so much, like you said earlier, so much better to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a reason why a lot of you listen to this is because you go through what we're going through and what we're talking about. And it's just even if you don't get anything out of this, like none of these tips work for you. You've heard two people that are going through the same shit you're going through.
100%.
And it's okay.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited to be vaccinated and out in the world, but I haven't like necessarily just jump back in,
yeah.
I would say. I struggle. Some days I feel very optimistic. Other days, a little bit harder.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's fits and starts. John actually saw one of our former neighbors on the street the other day, and John said, how are you? And he said, I'm languishing.
Really?
Which I thought was great. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my response used to be, I'm surviving. Getting through it. You know, it's
well,
not as fancy as languishing.
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, I think normally I'd be like, I think my gut instinct is like, don't do that. But you know what? No.
Yeah.
I think you should if you feel like,
yeah.
Especially if you're talking to your friends, because your friends care about you. And
yeah. But I will caveat that with don't, and this is more like a social tip, don't be like, oh my God, everything sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you're going
to. Don't be the,
what is it?
The energy vampire or the like, Debbie Downer.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be a Debbie Downer.
There's a way of doing it.
Yeah, there's a way of doing it.
It's good to talk.
Yeah.
I think we'll end it there.
So the next episode is all about deep work,
deep
right,
work.
Paolo?
Yep.
You're going to be presenting all of your
100%.
Research. 100%.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, we can't wait.
Never doubt the skills.
Well, I'm going to set my expectations really low.
You should.
And let's see what happens.
I'm going to exceed them by, you have no idea.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
SA incoming.
I'm skeptical.
I won't languish, I'll flourish.
All right. Bring it.
What's the guy's name? Cal Newport? Guy?
I thought you had already researched all of his work.
I've been languishing with picking it up. All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye.